Good evening. You are tuned to KGVM Bozeman. We are Gallatin Valley Community Radio. You can find us at 95.9 on the FM dial if your radio still has a dial. We're online at kgvm.org. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. It is time tonight for the local musician spotlight, and I'm in the KGVM studios tonight with McLean Daou, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Yeah, I think it was maybe not that long ago that you played here with Nathan. Maybe it's been longer than I thought, but yeah, thanks for coming in, and looking forward to hearing some more of your acoustic stuff. I think, I guess I'm mostly familiar with you playing electric guitar with Icarus, mostly, I guess.
Yeah, no, I definitely enjoy playing electric with a band, but it is nice every once in a while to just strip down and go back to my roots of just playing on an acoustic.
Yeah, and if I remember right, that acoustic that you've got was that your first guitar?
It was, yeah. It's a three-quarter Martin, and it's so funny when anyone else plays it, because they're like, that's either a really tiny guitar or you're a really big person. And for me, it's perfect. Like, it's the perfect size. I still use it. It's like a travel-size guitar, but it's perfect for me.
Nice. Well, yeah, I wonder if you want to play some songs.
Happy to. Thank you.
Forgetting, why am I here?
So these are all your original compositions.
They are.
Nice. Yeah, it's pretty introspective, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Songs. Have you written any music with the bands that you play with?
Yeah, I have. I think with Icarus, that's the first time I've ever really delved into that, songwriting as a group. And with Nathan and Noah and Carson, it's so easy. I've found in the past, whenever I've worked with other musicians, sometimes it can be a little trickier, but I don't know. I don't think that says very much about songwriting as a group. I think it just says more about our process. We write songs pretty well together, but, it definitely takes an open mind. I would say the hardest thing is saying yes to every idea, being able to say no to some ideas and push them to maybe another song or something like that. Cause you know, four minds together can be a lot.
Yeah. I imagine if you weren't careful, you could end up with kind of the, you know, everything in the kitchen sink in every song. And
I would say we even have some songs that are like that where we just said, you know what? Screw it. We'll put everything in there. And I love whenever we take we let an idea flow in any direction, and the next thing you know, we've got a song with two parts, and it's almost like two or three songs put together, which I dig that. I like Frankenstein songs like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I was trying to think if this is true. It seems like it might be a little true that people might not You might not hear songs like that as much anymore as you used to.
I'd agree with that.
It seems like it. You know, that used to be, I mean, maybe not a common thing, but definitely not a really rare thing. Like, I was thinking of way back in the dark ages, like the 70s and stuff, that, you know, there were quite a few different songs that were, you know, kind of pretty distinct parts and stuff. And I'm not kind of drawing a blank about, like, modern songs that are very many of them that are seem that way. So
the only one that I can think of is actually one that my boyfriend showed me. Car Seat Headrest is a song called Drunken Drivers and Killer Whales. It's like there's like a slash through the title, and you know, I knew the Killer Whales song, like I knew that song, but I had no idea that there was like this whole other half to the song. So whenever I sat down and actually listened to the whole thing, it was a magical experience. I was like, wow, this song is so much more to me now. And obviously, like, I definitely think that was a thing back then, because music was taking you on a journey through different places, and maybe people don't have the time and patience to sit and listen to a 5-minute, 6-minute song.
that's an interesting point. I was trying to think. I think that's probably very true, too. New songs maybe tend to not be as long. I mean, you know, there's a reason punk rock, well, there might be several reasons, but at least one of the reasons punk rock existed was because that got a little bit carried away there for a while. I mean, we don't really need, every band doesn't need their own Inagata De Vida.
No, exactly. No.
But I kind of like that sometimes. The, like you said, and that's a, like the juxtaposition of those two things, drunken drivers and killer whales. I mean, that's an interesting thing to just try to think about how you would fit those together. But yeah, you know, I think sometimes that can be fun and can make it pretty interesting. And, you know, certainly you could do two and a half minute songs that were those two and put them next to each other. But I think that misses the fun of trying to figure out the transition and then have your listeners follow through it and see if they can hang with you. So
no, exactly. I think the true ones will stick through it all. And yeah, you could take that route of just, yeah, putting it next in the track list, just so it is like one seamless song. But yeah, I think it is cooler to just mash them.
Yeah. So with, have you adapted any of your solo songs for Icarus?
For Icarus, I don't think so, only because I wanted to respect everybody else's creative ideas first, and Nathan has a lot of ideas. Like, I think within the first few weeks of all four of us being in a group, we had crunched out like three songs, and that was the most songwriting I'd done in such a long time, and I was in that mindset, in that mode of not being in the Cherry Fox mindset, I guess. So it was refreshing and honestly kind of much needed, because then I could take a look back at those songs with fresh eyes. But the other band I'm in with, Harley and Nathan as well, for real, we have adopted some of these songs just kind of as filler for our set, just because he had some ideas that he liked, but he expressed interest in my music, actually, Harley. He was like, let's play some Cherry Fox songs. So we took Rise Below, and we did that, and then a song I'm going to be playing at the very end, Time Out, that one we did a different version of, and Cold Throat. Yeah, I kind of just let Harley pick the ones that he really liked, and I adjusted them to match, I guess, what we were into, what interested us, because Harley's bass tone is very unique, so yeah. I didn't want it to just be a carbon copy. I wanted it to be fit for both of those talented musicians so that they would enjoy playing it too.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen For Real yet, I admit sheepishly, With the lineup of musicians, I gotta imagine that it's probably at least a little fairly hard.
Oh yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm always interested in like songs, maybe like some of these solo songs are not, you know, they're kind of, you know, I think that tempo and that sound and stuff, it's always interesting to me to see how they translate when you kind of amp them up. And how they change, because you know it's not just the volume. I mean, the feel changes, and sometimes that can be really interesting. Just to see, you've got this particular feel of it when you're playing it on an acoustic guitar, and then when you get a whole band and a lot of electricity going, just you know where the just the mood of it might go.
Oh, absolutely. I mean. I felt kind of limited whenever I was younger because I only wrote songs on my acoustic, and so I feel like that put me in a box. And also, my taste has changed quite a bit. When younger me, I loved prog rock and alternative rock. Like, I listen to Royal Blood and all sorts of up-and-coming prog rock bands from England, but I also loved shoegaze and electronica, so that definitely is more reflected in my earlier sound. And once you like get comfortable playing loud music, then I feel like the writing for that becomes easier. But it's a lot easier for me to write calmer, more solemn music in just my bedroom with my acoustic guitar. And you're right, as some of these Cherry Fox songs, I want to hear them loud. I want to redo them loud, because that craving and that itch is there. But this version will always hold a special place.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like you said, some of these songs, that somber mood, maybe it, not necessarily angry, but, you know, when you translate it, maybe, yeah, it might be a pretty different thing. I mean, it's still still the same ideas, maybe, but maybe kind of might start diverging a little bit.
Yeah, that's totally true. I'll have to like really pay attention to that and get other people's feedback on it, because some people even ask me, they're like, what's this song about? And I'm like, dude, I could not tell you. Like, yeah, and especially given the fact that some of these songs were written like 10 years ago, I don't know what I was thinking back then. So, you know, it now I have a little bit more thought and you know, a little more intent put into my songwriting. Other times it's the opposite, and it's just whatever sounds good comes out. It's a nice balance. It's a nice balance to do both.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, every song doesn't need to be a story song, I guess.
Very true.
Yeah, I think sometimes that is, I mean, that can be the interesting part of listening to the song. I mean, you know, some songs, the story is the interesting thing, but sometimes it might be just trying to guess, like, how did these things kind of end up together, and, you know, what kind of a frame of mind might have led to that or something. That maybe that's a little too psychoanalytical to be listening to music.
You just asked the answerless question.
Well, yeah, I think that's another interesting thing about listening to music is like, and I think this is true kind of across the board. People, I especially do this and try not to, but I have a tendency to just make this leap that, you know, I get this impression of something and I'm like, well, this must be the way everybody else perceives this. Obviously, that's not true. And so, you know, if you think about somebody listening to your song and they're like, well, I know this must have been what you were thinking when you wrote the song. It's like, yeah, maybe that is just like the farthest thing from the case. So, you know, I think that can be kind of a fascinating thing to kind of compare notes, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I love to hear people's input on my music, and I'll let them continue to think that it's about whatever they think it's about. I'll just agree with them and nod my head, because honestly, yeah, that's up to interpretation. I love that about music.
Yeah, yeah, cool. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is KGVM Bozeman, and this is the Local Musician Spotlight. I'm here in the KGVM studios tonight. We're not out at the Tune Factory, and I'm here with McLean Dayu, Cherry Fox, and want to thank you for tuning in, and I guess if you want to maybe play some more songs, we could keep going here.
Happy to. Strings aren't a fan of the cold.
Yeah, it's a little chilly in here, and I'm sure that's that makes your guitar go, hey, what gives? I mean, especially the rapid transition probably is. Any direction it goes is probably not good, so.
That's okay. We will push on.
You and I hold on. times you and I both know. It gives me back my peace of mind. Shudder, slip away, mutter. sensing and shifting every broken word and every silent step hides pity. people with dark whisper my name. Leave and take a piece of my heart. For many nights I've screamed to my pillow in the dark, hoping that I'll fall asleep and never wake.
I really like that song. So this annoying thing happened partway through. It was like, oh, I really like the song. And then I started kind of wondering why it was that I liked that song and more than some of the other songs. And, you know, it just, you know, it's our brains are weird things. And, you know, just kind of thinking about, I never did come up with a why, but.
You know, it's really funny that you say that, because that was one of my least favorite songs that I had written, probably because it's the most vulnerable. And, like, if you listen to it on Spotify, it's super shoegazy and fast-paced and, like, sounds so bubbly and happy. And everybody loved that song. Like, they were like, McLean, this is my favorite song by you. And I was just over here in the corner like, oh, my God, why are you listening to that one? And now it's starting to grow on me, I think. And I've actually come up with another version of it that I think I want to make loud and really intense. But that's so funny that you say that, because almost everybody else in my life says that the song they like more than the others, and they can't also explain why. But
that is interesting. It's the vulnerability of it maybe is a part of it. The rhythm, I'm sure, is a little bit of it too. But I could definitely see that one being something that would have a really interesting twist if you did it loud. You know, it just seems like a different drive would be, it might open up some whole new meaning to it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm stoked to do it, so.
So you said when you're writing songs, do you usually write on the acoustic?
I try to. I've been finding that if I'm on my electric and I'm messing around with my effects pedals, sometimes an idea will come through a special effect. I've written songs by messing around with phaser pedals, and because I really love phaser pedals, and it puts you in a different frame of thinking. I mean, because obviously whenever we're writing, we're thinking of other songs that we know and other songs we've written, and I've written so many songs on this guitar. So this guitar, writing on it makes me think of my past writing style. I have tried dabbling, just writing on my electric guitar, just to mess around with effects and that sort of thing. I have written a couple songs on piano too, and they have certainly come out different, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, hadn't really thought about that, but it makes sense. You know, there are so many things that with our senses trigger memory, you know, sound and especially and odor and stuff. And just the idea that, I mean, just the feel of the guitar and kind of the sound of it and stuff might kind of slot you into a place that might be kind of hard to bounce out of to go in a different direction.
No, exactly. That's why I always tell people, if they're stuck in like writer's block, just not only step away from your instrument, but try just writing in a whole new way. Like, I have had so many songs that I've started and couldn't finish, and then I ended up finishing it on a totally different instrument or at a completely different time in my life, like years later, and it was just, I needed that time away from it. But no, absolutely, and I have so many memories with this guitar, so I have lots of things to pull from, whereas something like the piano is a lot more foreign to me. So I feel like the ideas are a little different for sure.
Yeah, so there you have it, people. If you get really stuck, if you're a songwriter, go get a tuba.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
And or a kazoo. Right? Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, that's a... Huh. So you just completed a music tech degree here?
I did, yeah. I graduated from Montana State, go Bobcats, just this past May.
Is that what drew you up here?
Yeah, my dad was raised in Helena, so I have a grandma who lives in Montana. Shout out to the fam. But they're still back. My dad's still back in Texas, which is where I grew up most of my life. But I've fallen in love with it up here. I don't plan on going anywhere anytime soon, just because the music scene here is so alive, and there's just so much potential with it, and I'm just eating it up. I'm just basking in it. So
So we might have talked a little bit about this last time. You were in Austin before you came up here?
Yes, sir. I was for 10 years.
And, I mean, Austin's got a reputation of having a pretty good music scene.
Oh, hell yeah. I can't tell you how blessed I am to have the music opportunities or the music memories that I do. I went to concerts by myself in middle school, like, to see some of my favorite bands of all time, and that I don't think could have happened anywhere else. And you can go see music anywhere, anytime, no matter what day of the year it is, even if it's Christmas Eve, or if you're like me and you have a really sucky birthday, like the day after Christmas, you can still go out and do something fun.
And there will be places to go.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I've been in Austin once or twice and went to some of the places, but you know, I was kind of looking for a particular thing. My taste went in a particular direction at that time, so I got the impression there was a lot of Americana and country there, but I assume there's a lot of other music there too.
I would say that Bozeman is a lot like Austin in that sense, because on the outside, I think Bozeman, you know, it seems like it has a lot of bluegrass and a lot of country as well, and Austin certainly has its fair share of that. Like, I hold a special place in my heart for the slide guitar. And, you know, I've never gone swing dancing, even though I'm a Texan, but I would watch people swing dance. And so I love that kind of music environment. But then once you get into like the nooks and crannies of the music scene, you start to see that there's a lot of punk. There's a lot of grunge. There's, you know, they're just kind of hiding, but on the surface level, yeah, it's definitely got that cowboy aesthetic for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, I mean, that's true. Some great punk came out of Austin, and so, but you think that you're pretty happy with the Bozeman music scene?
I'm super happy with it. You know, it's, I can't tell you how lucky I feel, because, you know, getting to play some really awesome shows with bands that maybe people have heard of and maybe they haven't, It's like an even playing field here, and I can't say that that's the same in other places. You know, there's either way too high of expectations, or there's just none at all. And here, I think people are just open-minded, and that's, I think, what makes Bozeman so special is the audience, too. Like, everybody's so captivated by any live music, regardless of what genre. They just see the talent and the musicianship, and they just have a deep appreciation for it.
Yeah, I think that is a lot. It's fun to be able to go out and you see a lot of the same people at whatever show it is. And, you know, kind of across the board, there's a lot of different genres and stuff. And I think I like that. I think it's a lot of fun. I don't want to listen to the same kind of music every day. So I like to be able to go out and see a variety. And it's great to see a lot of people out there doing the same thing, and, you know, enjoying and getting into music kind of just for the music of it, not for the label that's on it or anything. So
exactly. No, absolutely.
Yeah. So you guys, well, have you been playing out solo at all here up here?
I've been really wanting to, and I told myself that now that it's sort of you know, getting into winter time, that I would take the time to go play some more solo shows. And I think that this, you know, this opportunity you've given me to do the Musician Spotlight has really helped my confidence in that. It's been such a long time since I've done solo acts. I did it a lot whenever I was younger in Austin. I played at a lot of pubs, a lot of open mics, that sort of thing. And I don't know why I got a lot of, stage fright and lost a lot of confidence in myself, I think. And now that I have a music degree, I'm a professional musician over here, I should really put myself out there and just not even, you know, for exposure or for anything beyond just doing it, just for the experience.
Just personal, kind of the Mount Everest thing. You do it because it's there.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Just do it just because. I've Ben, my friend Ben, he's played Jay and Cole quite a bit. And, you know, Hoff Open Mic is always there. You know, there's always opportunities to just play. I might actually go swing by there tonight and celebrate his birthday. Oh, nice. He's having a little open jam session. I think playing with other people is where my love of music really comes from, is collaboration. But doing a solo act is also, I think, important.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it kind of hones different edges and aspects of your musicianship, too. You got to kind of do different things.
Definitely. I think in the very beginning, whenever I got into it, you know, people saw me, a young girl with an acoustic guitar, and they were like, oh, this is what she's going to be. They had a lot of expectations for what I was going to sound like, and then I think I surprised myself going out of that box or framework that other people had put onto me. And now, and not necessarily stepping away from it and not looking back, you know, having the option. I don't just have this one medium of playing and performing. I have several, and I feel extremely lucky in that sense, too.
You don't just have to be the folk singer with the girl folk singer with the guitar.
It's such a stereotype, you know, that's what I'm going to be, or that's what's going to make me big. And I think there's definitely an interest for that, but I'm also, I got a bit of a louder side. I've loved playing electric guitar. I've gotten so much better at improvising and just playing it. And I want to keep doing that. That's the direction I want to keep going in.
Nice. Yeah. It's pretty apparent when you're playing with a band that you're obviously having a good time doing it. So.
I mean, yeah, I got quite a face. I've got a playing face that I know I have, and there's no getting rid of it. You can't train that. It just shows how into it I am. And I definitely am. It's we tap into this kind of energy. I don't even really know how to describe it. I've never felt more alive. I've never felt more like myself. I've never felt more free than whenever I'm doing that.
Yeah. Well, man, that's when you find something that gets you to that place, you definitely want to take note of it and keep doing it. That's a lot of people never get there.
Right.
which is a pretty unfortunate thing. Well, I want to thank you very much for coming in. This is fun. I like these songs. I really like going and seeing you with Icarus too. I think it's a lot of fun just when you guys get loud and really let it rip. But these songs are great too in a whole different way. So thanks for coming in.
Appreciate you so much. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, and we do the local musician spotlight every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. I think next week. I got really lucky. Pat Loken worked some magic when Charlie Parr was here to play at the Elm. He came out and we taped an episode of the Local Musician Spotlight out in the Tune Factory. And I had to spend all of my energy trying not to be a drooling fanboy with Charlie Parr. And we'll see if I succeeded. So I think we're going to play that next Wednesday night for the spotlight. So if you're a Charlie Parr fan, you'll want to tune in for that. And keep it tuned right here to KGVM.